Good morning, everybody at KCC, and we are gathered together at KCC Online, Kirkliston Community Church. My name is Clive. I'm one of the pastors in the church, and I'll be bringing you the message this morning. And we're going to be thinking about where do we find satisfaction? Where do we find satisfaction? And we're going to be looking at Psalm 34, verses 8 to 14 this morning. So Psalm 34 verses 8 to 14. Can I just say at this time, which has not been easy for any of us, a big thank you to our staff team who are doing a great job in adapting to what's going on behind the scenes in the church and enabling people to be equipped and to serve you as a church. And also to other people behind the scenes, people like Jan and Andy, who are involved in communications and tech, who are spending hours behind the scenes editing things and enabling stuff to get out to you. So please, let's thank the staff. Let's thank Andy and Jan and many others who are serving God for your benefit, for your spiritual growth. So let's just keep encouraging one another in this time. So just before we turn to the passage, you'll notice I'm sitting down. We started off in the church. We ended up in our house last week, standing up. And it seems that as we go on in this process, that as you're sitting in your living room and I'm in my living room, it probably makes sense to give this message sitting down, which is not something that I'm used to, but we pray that God will bless us as we hear from his word. So let's pray together before we turn to his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to embrace technology, to be able to speak the truth of what your word has to say and how we can all connect together as your body. We thank you that you call us together to be your body, even though we can't physically meet together right now, that you want to speak to us through what your word has to say. And so I pray that you would help us to be receptive by your Holy Spirit. Speak to us wherever we're watching this. And I pray that we would hear you in what you have to say. Help me in what I have to say this morning, what I've prepared, but equally help me to be attentive to the Holy Spirit in saying what you're saying to us this morning as your church. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you've got a Bible, you've got a phone, you've got a laptop, if you could open that up to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, if you open up Psalm 34 and then just kind of look down a few verses to verse 8, we're going to begin looking there and looking at the question, where do we find satisfaction? Where do we find satisfaction? And so as we go through this talk, you'll get some of the verses popping up on the screen, some of the slides that I've made. I've got my MacBook in front of me here, so I'll be looking down a little bit just to flick to the next slide, just in case you're wondering what I'm doing, but that's where we're at. Okay, so where are we looking, first and foremost, for satisfaction? Where are we looking for satisfaction? And when we think about where we look for satisfaction, we could think of something like coffee, for instance. And growing up, my first taste of coffee was something like Maxwell House coffee. We used to call it milky coffee, put a spoon of coffee into milk, and that was it back in the day. And that's all we sort of knew, was instant coffee. Now, let me just say to you, as one of your pastors, please, if you are dabbling in instant coffee still, just give that up. It will not be any good for you. You are missing out. So if you're using something like this, one of these instant coffee brands that's pretending to be amazing, I just have forgotten just really how bad it is. And oh, I'm smelling that. Honestly, it smells like an ashtray. I'm not joking. It smells like someone's been smoking and they've put ash in there. It's horrible. Okay, so that you may find you think is satisfying you, but it really is not real coffee. It is far from it. It goes through a whole load of chemical processes. It's trashed and then eventually served up. So you can instantaneously supposedly have a coffee, and it is disgusting. Let me tell you, do not bother with instant coffee. Instead, what we really need to do is get into real coffee to truly be satisfied with coffee. So this is how satisfaction works. So for instance, this really nice coffee here made by Artisan Roast. I am not sponsored by Artisan Roast. Just let me clarify that one to you. Artisan Roast make really good coffees. Loads of other people make really great coffees too. But the difference is that you get beans like this, because this is essentially what happens is coffee gets roasted. If it's roasted really well, you will be able to smell that, and it's fantastic flavor. You grind it up at home, you put it into an AeroPress or into a cafetiere or other kind of machines that will do that for you. And that's where you really get the goodness of that coffee. So it might be something a bit chocolatey, it might be something a bit caramelized, it might be something quite smooth. Don't go for something that's over roasted, and certainly do not go for instant coffee. I mean, it is the pits. So we can truly be satisfied with the real coffee. And the reason, having heard the reading in Psalm 34 about tasting and seeing that God is good, is that when we begin to taste what is good, when we begin to taste what is real, we would not want to go back to something that doesn't taste real. And yet what happens in life is we can be looking for satisfaction in other kinds of areas. It may be that we want to find satisfaction in being the best at work, being the best at school, in a relationship, all kinds of areas where we think these things might bring us satisfaction, but they're not going to bring us true satisfaction. So I want us to look at three key areas this morning. I want us to look at firstly, what we taste, and secondly, what we listen to, and thirdly, what we say. What we taste, what we listen to, and what we say. So firstly, how do we find satisfaction through what we taste? How do we find satisfaction through what we taste? Well, right next to me right now, I've got a really nice coffee. And that is not instant coffee. It's a really nice coffee, a really nice brew. And so how do we find satisfaction through things that we taste? Well, we find it through actually tasting it, through engaging with that coffee. But when we think about God, we think in verse 8 of Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see that the Lord is good. So again, it's not about just knowing about God. It's actually knowing him. We can know in theory that God is good, but do we actually know that God is good? Have we tasted of who he is and his goodness, so that we've actually engaged with him with our minds and our hearts and our soul, and that we have come to him in prayer and asked him, "I want to know you. I want to know your goodness. I want to taste of this goodness. I want to be satisfied in you." Because we're told that blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So that when we are looking for our key soul satisfaction in the Lord alone, that is where we find our refuge, where we find that goodness, because we've tasted, we've understood who he is, we've tasted the reality of the fact that Jesus has come and has died and risen again, that we might know God and that we can be hidden in Christ. So it's not just knowing about God, it's knowing him in the person of Jesus. It's actually tasting the goodness of who he is day in, day out, as we pray, as we seek him, as we look to him in a crisis like we're in at the moment. But taste and hunger are actually related. I don't know whether you've thought about that. Taste and hunger are related. So look down in Psalm 34, verses 9 and 10. And we read, "O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing." So can't we see how this works? So we're told again to fear the Lord, and we're told that when we fear him, we will lack nothing. We will have no lack. So what we tend to do is we veer towards the things that are tangible, the things that we can touch, the things that are fearful for us, so that we think about the coronavirus and we think about the implications of that and the uncertainty of that. We think about the physical effects of the ill health that it's having on people, how people are dying of that. And so we can become fearful of that, or we can become fearful for our relatives, or we can become fearful for our friends. We can become fearful about our work. We can become fearful about our relationships. We can become fearful about a whole host of things. But what we're told to do is to replace those fears with a greater understanding of the awe and the majesty and the greatness of who God is, that we are to fear the Lord instead. Because when we fear the Lord, he is the one who enables us to overcome death and have eternal life. He is ultimately the good judge, that when we stand before him, if we have asked for forgiveness, if we have bowed the knee to him, if we've lifted up the name of Jesus, then we will have true hope and eternity in him. And so we are to not get so closed in, which we so often do day by day. When we look at the news, we become so fearful of the here and now, that we are to fear the Lord instead. And so we can hunger after things, and that can be filled with a fear of a number of things. And we can taste those things, and we know that they don't taste good. We know that they're not real, yet we often return to them. But we are to taste and see that God is good, and we are to fear the Lord. And we see in this passage in verse 10 that the young lions suffer want and hunger. So even an incredibly strong lion still gets hungry. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So this satisfaction that we are desiring, this satisfaction that we have a deep down hunger for, I just need to be satisfied, I need to find meaning, I find purpose, that all of us have, we're looking for hope, it can be found in the Lord, that we will not lack anything when we look to the Lord, because he is above all things, and he is eternal, and he is for us. But secondly, how do we find satisfaction? Through listening. So this psalm shows us that it's through what we taste, but it's also about through listening. We can find satisfaction through listening. Well, how does that work? We'll look at verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 says, "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?" So God is inviting us, if we want to find true satisfaction, to come as his children and to come and to listen to him, and that he will teach us. This is what we were thinking about last week. We were thinking about God who speaks, but are we listening? And here it is again, that he wants us to come as children. So not come like you are the man, or you're the woman and you've got it all together, or you're going to get through this. If I just grit my teeth, if I just work harder, if I just scrub everything harder, we're going to make it, because I want to be in control. And we can see that, can't we? Everyone's trying desperately to help, which is a great thing, but we're not the ones who are the savior. We are to come instead like children. Children come and sit on the knee and listen to our Father, who will teach us to fear the Lord. And so with all the busyness that's been going on, all the noise that's been happening, all the buzz of Western life, where we constantly are encouraged to live at 100 miles an hour, we are being shown right now to come as children, to come without any pride or arrogance, to come simply to listen, not like we know it all, we've got it all going on. And that we are to be taught the fear of the Lord, to see what it is to have the right perspective, to see what it is to see God for being God, that he is awesome, that he is majestic. And we're to see that what man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good. So that we, when we do this, we see this perseverance of the saints. We see how God cares for us because we have this eternal hope. But what we often do is listen not to God, but we listen too often to the world, to the media, to the voices that bring about fear in us. And Kevin Van Hooser, in his book, says Christian imaginations are captive to non-biblical stories that do not lead us to Christ and thus fail to nourish our souls. Let me read that again. So Christian imagination, so we're all imagining things. We all have the capacity as humans to imagine situations and scenarios. That's probably what a lot of us are doing right now, imagining what's happening. We see the problems. Are we going to be affected by corona individually? Are friends going to be affected? Are family members going to be affected? Where's this going to go? What's going to happen? We have the capacity to imagine. We have the capacity to imagine great things that I'm going to create and make and bake and shape and do great things. But our imagination can also become captive to non-biblical stories, non-biblical narratives that don't lead us to Christ. They lead us actually to a fear that's not good. And they fail to nourish our souls. So we must be attentive to this, that actually our imaginations can run riot and they can lead us not to Christ, but to other things that are not helpful. And so we read elsewhere in the Psalms, in Psalm 46 and verse 10, he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." So God says, in the midst of any occasion, but it seems a little bit louder in this occasion, "Be still and know that I am God." So we still ourselves and we remind ourselves in prayer and through reading his word, and be attentive to the work of the Holy Spirit, that he's here and that he's with us. And that even though at times this could be frustrating, even though at times we might feel cabin fever in the house, even though our patience might be tested, we might be given to feel irritable, we might be short-tempered, he says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted. God will be lifted up among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth." And so God is God, and he will make himself known. He will make himself known, and he wants us to listen to him. But thirdly and lastly, how do we find satisfaction in what we say, in what we say? Well, we read in verses 13 and 14, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So we can find satisfaction in what we say, the psalmist tells us. So keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. So we have a choice how we speak, how we use our language, who we praise. So we are to keep our tongue from evil and our lips from speaking deceit. We're to turn away from evil and do good and seek peace and pursue it. And we read about this elsewhere in the Bible, don't we? Maybe more famously in the book of James, in James chapter 3 and verse 5, when it says, the tongue is a small part of the body, which it is, it's true. But it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. So we can see the power of what we say in terms of destruction and negativity. So the tongue is a small part of the body. We're looking to find satisfaction. And the psalmist is telling us, well, what you say will help you find true satisfaction. The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. And so, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to go here. We're going to build this. We're going to achieve this. We're going to have a 5-year plan for this. We're going to have a 10-year plan for that. We're going to do this in this nation. We're going to build this infrastructure. We're going to develop this relationship this way. We're going to build a house that looks like this. We're going to structure our society like this. We're going to modify our identities like this. And so all these boasts that we've had, all these boasts that we've been involved in being part of are just things that can cause destruction if God is not at the center of it. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. So this is how we find real satisfaction and how the world finds real satisfaction by what we say. Well, how is it? Well, when we look, if you flick to the start of Psalm 34 and verse 1, we read, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that amazing? So you want to find real satisfaction. If I want to find real satisfaction, then it's that I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And so if I'm setting my mind and my course and my speech on blessing the Lord and praising him and praising him with my mouth, if worship is the thing that I want to be the first and foremost thing, that if worshiping the Father, Son, and Spirit is the thing that I want and desire more than anything, then I will be satisfied. And so what I say and how I react and how I live and how I influence will be influenced by this desire to bless the Lord and to praise him. And we will see not only that as something that will satisfy us as individuals, but that we will see in this climate, we will see in this current crisis, that this can become infectious. That worship, that the praise of his name can become the infectious thing that goes around the world globally and changes a world. We see in Psalm 67 and verse 3, may the peoples praise you. God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. That is where we would find true satisfaction, that when we as individuals not only taste and see that God is good, and not only listen to him like children, but that when we praise him with our whole being, with our mouth, with our whole life, with our finances, in our relationships, how we go about our work, how we think about and treat our neighbors. When we praise him, when it's all about his glory, and we desire to live like this, and we desire to see the nations be glad and sing for joy. Isn't that your desire right now? I hope it is. It's my desire. It's not always there up front and central, but I'm praying that the Lord revives our nation here in Scotland. I'm praying that the Lord revives the UK. I'm praying that the Lord revives the world in such a way that we will see the nations be glad for the name of Jesus and sing for joy Jesus's name, because this is what brings true hope, true salvation, true restoration, and an eternal hope that never will diminish. May the peoples praise you. God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. Can't we see that what we say brings satisfaction to you and to me, but also to the nations as we lift up the name of Jesus and we're unashamed of the gospel because we sing his praises. And you know, there's that phrase that's used in football, in the UK particularly, that when a team loses a goal, you know, they may have been winning and then they lose a goal, the opposite team and opposite fans start singing, "You only sing when you're winning. You only sing when you're winning." And I don't want us to be a church that only sing when we're winning, that we only sing when life is going really well, when there is no coronavirus, when we are having a great time in terms of our leisure and our pleasure and our finances. I don't want us to only be a church that sing when somehow it seems that things are going materially well for us. Because I think that the world, when they look at us as believers, and when they see that we don't just sing when we're winning, that we sing to the glory and the majesty of who God is, and we bless and praise Jesus, they see that there's something different about us. And I pray that if you're watching this and you don't know Jesus, that you will know that amazingly, we are able to sing and we are able to have hope because of who Jesus is. No matter what the circumstances, that we can praise his name and that we glorify him and know true satisfaction in him. So as we finish, are you tasting the goodness of Jesus? Are you listening to the goodness of the gospel? Are you singing out his praises to the whole world who is listening? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the truth of this psalm. And we want to find our true satisfaction in you. And so often we can go looking elsewhere, but help us to look to Jesus. Help us to taste and see that you're good. And I pray that we would encourage one another in this, and that we would sing out your praises, and that we would be unashamed of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for watching. Have a good week, and let's keep encouraging one another and blessing one another. And just keep supporting one another where we can. In Jesus' name, amen.